Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue with our present subject, the two Adams, and we will read again our theme verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam was the federal head of the human race. The last Adam is the federal head of a spiritual race. And that last Adam is Christ. We read in verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to be born into the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood, our natural lineage, has nothing to do with it. Now, did you notice, please, that we read in verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, we want to talk about what the first man, the first Adam, lost, and what we have gained through the last Adam, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Adam lost spiritual life, we've gained eternal life through Christ. Adam lost innocency, we've gained holiness through Christ. Adam lost partial fellowship, we've gained eternal fellowship through Christ. And today we wish to consider the fact that Adam lost the Garden of Eden, but we have gained heaven, the abode of God, through Christ. We want to read a little, and we'll just dwell on it very briefly, how that Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden. After they had sinned and confessed it, God says to them in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 3 unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Thou shalt return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And then God says, among the Godhead, this shows the Trinity, incidentally. Notice, please, how God speaks this verse in verse 22, how he speaks, rather. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Isn't this sad language? So he drove out the man. He got behind him, as if to say, get out. And then there was the angel, the cherubims, rather, that guarded that tree with a flaming sword. Adam lost the Garden of Eden. But we wish today to spend our time really talking about what we have gained through Christ, because of the fact that he loved us and died on the cross to take away our sins. We have gained heaven, and we have been born into his family. Immediately, the moment that we placed our faith in what Christ had done for us as our Savior, and I may add, incidentally, 100% Savior, not 99 and 44 100% either. We don't do anything to be saved. Christ has done it all. If we want to earn our salvation, we're 2,000 years too late. Christ has already earned our salvation for us. Now, as the Lord Jesus Christ knew that he was going to be leaving his disciples very soon, he has this message for them as recorded in John chapter 14. Beginning at verse 1, we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now remember our objective. We're going to try to find out what heaven is like, both in its present state and in its eternal state. That is the state that is brought before us in Revelation. Now here, the Lord Jesus gives a little indication of what heaven is like. It's the Father's house. Now we judge the grandeur of a house by the person who lives in it. And the grandeur of heaven can be gauged by the character of the Godhead who resides there. It must be wonderful. It's the house of the Father. But it's not described. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives us a further hint of what heaven must be like, because he says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 1, he speaks in the third person of himself. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory," although he could glory by reason of the abundance of the revelations given to him, but he didn't want to. "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago," and he's speaking in the third person, "whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." You see, Paul speaking of himself. This was his experience. Now he's caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven is the abode of God. There are three heavens. There are the atmospheric heavens, there are the starry heavens, and there are the heavens of the abode of God. But Paul was caught up there. He says, "I don't know whether I was in the body or in the spirit." But he says, "I was told not to speak of the things that I saw, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Now, I don't know what he heard. We don't know. He didn't tell us. But I do know this, that in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of that epistle gives us a hint of what heaven is like today. Now, I believe that the Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews. And so here, he has the go-ahead. He has the authority of the Spirit of God to write. He's writing by inspiration about what heaven today is like. Now, he's writing for the benefit of these Hebrew people that thought so much of their temple, that went back to Sinai, where God came down to earth. That mountain quaked, and there was lightning flashing. There was an earthquake. God came down in grandeur and gave them the law. Now, Paul says, we haven't come to a mountain like that now. We've come to a different mount. And so he goes on and he speaks of what heaven is like today. Listen to him, please. Verse 22 of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Now let's notice in detail what he says about that. All right. "Ye are come unto Mount Zion," it's on a mountain. The cities of those days were built on hills. And even our Lord Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, a city that is built on a hill cannot be hid. They were put there for grandeur. They were put there for vision, for vista. They were put there for protection. And we have been come to a lofty place. This gives us some idea what heaven is like. It's a mountain. It's lofty in its character. And it's a city. It's a gathering of people. God wants people around him. That's why he's permitted so many people to come into the world. He loves men. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a city. Many, many people are there. God likes to gather people around him. It's the heavenly Jerusalem in contrast to the earthly Jerusalem that was destroyed time and time again. This one is indestructible. And to an innumerable company of angels, once in a while Israel saw angels. They were awed. Even the Virgin Mary was awed when the angel Gabriel came to her. John in the book of Revelation is awed at the angels that come to hear. Here is an innumerable company of angels and all the glory of the angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, the church is largely in heaven. All of those that have been born again in the times past, their spirits are up in heaven now. There are more of the church. There's more of the church in heaven than there is on earth, I'll tell you that. But this is where the church is abiding. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect, I believe, are the Old Testament saints that ascended with Christ when he ascended, after he ascended. He was the first fruits of them that slept. And the Old Testament saints, their spirits went to heaven when Christ ascended to heaven. They were no longer in Abraham's bosom. They went up to heaven. They are there. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And there is a song written, I love to sing it, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there, and that's where he is. He's the center of it, and to the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That blood would tell us that we get to heaven by means of the blood of Christ, his shed blood that was shed to wash away our sins. Now, the future state of heaven, we cannot fully describe. It's found in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. It's really the abode of the church. It's the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And that new Jerusalem is a place of grandeur, 12 foundations with the names of the apostles of the Lamb in it, 12 gates for the 12 tribes of Israel, each gate encased in a huge pearl, streets of gold. It's the abode of God. They need no candle, no light there, no sun. The glory of God lights that beautiful city. That is the city that's coming down, that from which our Lord Jesus Christ will rule during his millennial reign, the 1,000 years of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God on earth. That is the beautiful city, and it's the eternal state of that city, and the church is dwelling there. Heaven is a wonderful place, and God would have us indeed realize what it is, and the Word of God will give it substance. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we will appreciate what arrangements you've made for us to be around yourself, and we would not forget the cost, the life of our Lord Jesus. And we give thee thanks in his name. Amen.